Hello and welcome to another episode of the When Wrestlers At podcast. I'm John Cronshaw and I'm joined today by someone who knows me very well. Hello, Claire.
Hiya, John.
How are you doing today?
All right, thanks.
Excellent. So we've just watched what I can only describe as Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Series 4, Episode 16, an episode called Salem's Daughter. Now, to preface this episode, I should say that me and Colin Cox have tried to watch this episode for probably the last two occasions that we've met, and each time we've ended up watching a completely random episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. So, third time lucky, we finally got it. It stars Billy Gunn, and he was there.
Don't pretend you haven't enjoyed these episodes, John. I know you have. It's not like you've fast-forwarded through them.
You know, I was expecting to see a wrestler acting at some point, and if I fast-forwarded past it, then, you know, I might have missed it. So my journalistic integrity meant that I had to watch it all the way through.
I'm not sure about you, John, but I'm sure there's another reason why a certain Colin didn't particularly mind watching two episodes of the lovely Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah, less said about that, the better. So, I mean, this episode, I mean, it opened up, because I've watched a few episodes of Sabrina Teenage Witch recently now, I know that they kind of do this for all of them. If I'd come at it cold, I would have been, what on earth is going on? But it opened up and there was just a random sketch, I suppose, just a little bit of comic relief before the episode that had nothing to do with the episode. It was Sabrina complaining to a newspaper delivery man. She was saying, you know, you delivered papers from the 1940s. And so she sent him away packing, and then the door opened again to the other realm, and a big pile of papers fell on her.
By the way, I think you might call that a bit a vignette.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, nice, you know. Vignette, and that's not what we had on our salad for tea, John.
There we go. And next we had, well, obviously the credits. Now these credits, they were pretty bad. I don't know what you made of the credits.
Europop is what I thought, which I thought was, I suppose, a bit strange, being as though it's an American sitcom. But it felt a bit Europop to me, this theme tune, which I think was maybe called Secret, possibly. What?
Really? You knew the name of the song?
Did you Shazam it?
Did you Shazam it? Is that what it is?
I didn't Shazam it. They just kept saying Secret, so I assumed that was what the track was called.
Right. And why is it called Secret? I suppose Sabrina's a secret witch, isn't it? She's got like a kind of a double identity.
Is it meant to be secret?
I think so.
I didn't actually watch it back in the day particularly. Well, I don't think I watched it. It didn't really strike me as her being secretive about it. I mean, she admitted to her boyfriend at the end of the episode. Well, no, she was a bit, I suppose she was a bit cagey about it, about taking trees to weddings and things, which was all a bit strange. She didn't explain it. But
yeah. So do you think she's kind of, comes across as quirky rather than is actually a witch? I mean, I don't know whether Harvey, the boyfriend, actually knew whether she was a witch, or whether her, you know, Josh, the dish who, was the manager of the cafe, who had fancies for her, whether he knew she was a witch. I don't think they did.
I see Sabrina and Harvey as being quite an unlikely couple. He's just set up as the jock. And I mean, I know she's blonde, but she's blonde and quirky, not blonde and an airhead. Mm. She is how they always work in American high school scenarios, so they are a bit of an unlikely couple.
Do you think there's a bit of a, maybe the type of teenage girls who read, maybe today would read Twilight or
back
whatever.
In the day, I'd read Point Horror.
Okay, yeah, and like, you know, books about witches and things, you know, the kind of quirky.
Yeah.
Maybe end up becoming a bit of a goth. You know, might kind of live vicariously
through Sabrina.
With the desire to, you know, they might be a bit quirky, they might be a bit weird, but they still get, you
wanna
know,
attract the jock.
Yeah, wanna get the, you know, the captain of the football team or something like that. So.
No, that's quite sad really. I think she'd be more realistic and be with that cafe dude. He seemed more suited to her.
I mean, how old was he, though? I mean, she's meant to be a teenage witch. She's still in school. He was clearly in his, like, mid to late 30s.
Nah.
this kind of links, actually. It does link back to the intro. I said it was completely random. But because she's got all these newspapers, she happens to read through the you know, the birth, marriages and death section.
Right.
And comes across an announcement of someone that shared the same name as the cat.
Oh, God. You do just have to suspend your disbelief.
Well, it's just a talking magical cat who's been alive for 500 years.
Who's fathered a daughter called Annabelle.
Yeah.
A bottle blonde, permed. He's fathered her.
I don't know if he was always a cat. Do you think he might have been turned into a cat? Because, you know, he's involved in magic. Maybe he was turned into a black cat by a witch.
Well, I hope so, because otherwise it's all kinds of wrong.
So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't make... I mean, obviously he must have some human DNA or some magic. I suppose, it's magic, whatever. Doesn't matter. Just, you know, you watch Game of Thrones, you know how magic works. It just kind of gets you past some bullshit, and that's fine. You know, it just kind of works. This talking cat, 500 years old. And I think this is probably the first time it's ever mentioned that he's got a daughter. And then he talks about how guilty he is about not seeing his daughter over the years. You know, he's saying...
He's the absent father.
Yeah, the absent father. He doesn't call her. And then he feels guilty about that. And then that makes him feel worse. The character... In the other episodes I've seen, this cat was kind of just a bit of a wisecracking sidekick. But now he's got dimensions.
Do you know what I thought when I saw Cat? I thought that he was a sassy sooty.
Right.
As in sooty and sweet.
I know what you mean, yeah.
You know.
In fact, he's sootier because he's obviously got the full black fur rather than just the patches.
Racial.
It's not racist.
I didn't say it was, I said it was racial. Which it is.
Is it?
Well, it's...
Do cats have different races because of their fur?
Anyway. Besides the point. Okay, now my question to you, Jonathan, is when was this on TV?
Late 90s, wasn't it? I think this, yeah.
Who was it aimed at? Like teenage girls?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Or kind of top end of primary school? I really don't get this about this programme.
I don't know. I mean, this was on, I'm sure, kind of mid to late 90s. I think this might have been about 97, 98.
Was this before Clarissa Explains It?
No, this was post-Clarissa. This was like, she'd done Clarissa, she'd paid her dues, and now she was going on to more serious work, you know, more kind of multi-dimensional characters. Literally, you know, she was going into other realms and stuff, so...
Boom, boom. No, right, so, no, but what...
That was a good line. Yeah,
nice. But, no, what I was going to say was, I don't get the audience, I don't get the demographic. Okay, so mid to late 90s, was it on, like, CITV or something?
I think so, yeah, something
like
that.
Or, like, Saturday Morning TV or something like that?
Yeah. I think it was on Saturday Morning TV, and I've got a feeling they used to split the episodes into two, and I think it was on, like, BBC, Live and Kicking kind of thing.
Oh, was it? No, right, so, sorry, it takes a long time to get to my point, but it's... The references, it's not that I don't get them. Well, there are some that I don't get, you know, American audience primarily, I suppose. There are some references that I don't get. But, yeah, these time-travelling are the ants or something. They got some bread from the 17th century.
Mm.
And there was a reference to Stella Dallas, like being like Stella Dallas. So there was that reference that I didn't get, didn't think the audience would get. Maybe they would.
Mm.
And then the other one was just the inappropriate nudge, nudge, wink, wink references, even though, they were a bit more than nudge, nudge, wink, wink. The mention of, so this wedding, they mentioned just a slimy uncle as a wedding guest. Oh, yeah.
Who inappropriately touches them and stuff.
Yeah. Again, Saturday Morning TV.
Mm.
Just seems a little bit odd, which is why I don't get who's meant to be watching this.
I think it's basically just like a bit of a PG audience, isn't it? It's not like it's not like he said he's got, you know, he's got rapey hands or something. It was just a little bit edgy.
Yeah.
Sabrina is what? She's seen the wedding announcement, and she then goes to visit the Salem's daughter, Annabelle, I think her name is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Sabrina's gone and mended the rift between her father and daughter, she asks Sabrina to be her maid of honour. And Sabrina, it's quite funny because you're sitting there thinking, this is a bit contrived. And then she just comes out with, I think that's a bit contrived. You've asked me ahead of, like, you know, your a sister or, you know,
roommate,
best friend.
Lifelong
Yeah.
friend.
That's one thing that...
Knowing humour.
Yeah, it
very,
is.
Very postmodern.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's kind of self-aware and just kind of making jokes about...
Really sophisticated there.
Yeah, making jokes about its own structures and...
Post-structural.
Yeah. It's very Tarantino. It's the type of thing that Quentin Tarantino would do. You know, the guy who did the...
I know who Quentin Tarantino is.
The Pulp Fictions and the Reservoir Dogs is.
I'm aware of his oeuvre.
Yeah. so, yeah. Bit
no,
like...
That doesn't mean egg, by the way. That's
oeuvre. All right. Bit like the Kill Bills or the Kill Bills Volume 2, Lost in New York.
I saw a reference to that today.
What, Kill Bill 2, Lost in New York?
No, it was something to do with Ed Miliband.
Right.
You will not kill Mill. It was something really rubbish. It was like on a Labour person's Twitter.
Right. So was it?
Like it was a supporter of him and it was photoshopped onto the Kill Bill yellow.
And what was Ed Miliband's head photoshopped onto Uma Thurman's body in that kind of
yellow catsuit? No, it was just his head on the Kill Bill kind of font.
Right.
But it said, "You will not kill Mill."
Anyway.
Which was a bit...
And no wonder why so many people aren't voting these days.
Anyway.
Yeah. So then Sabrina's suddenly back at her own house with Salem. They're having a conversation and Salem's kind of worried that he can't do all the things that a human father of the bride would be able to do. So he asks Sabrina to be the, what did he say, like the father of the bride's backup or something. So she'd have to do all the things that he couldn't do. So Sabrina is now in the role of what, the maid of honour, father of the bride, wackiness will ensue. We'll see. I don't want to spoil it, but that's where I think it's going. I think this is going to turn into something quite wacky.
The ants are trying to get a date for the wedding, weren't they?
Oh,
were
yeah.
They, was it for a date? Are they ants?
Yeah. There's right. One of them's called Zelda. I can't remember what the other one's called.
Hilda.
Hilda, there we go.
Hilda and Zelda.
Yeah.
So there's the grandfather clock and they're trying to get wedding dates from the past. And they get quite a motley crew. Vikings.
Yeah, the kind of name, I suppose, traits of their ideal men. And they're like, I don't know, into outdoors and walks on the beach. And yeah, that's when a Viking appears.
And then, well, I don't know which aunt was which, but one of them, her date ends up being somebody who looks like Davy Crockett.
Yeah, but wasn't. Was it Daniel Booth?
I don't know. I think that's maybe like a reference that...
Yeah, I think that's a very American reference.
Yeah, who cares? Davy Crockett.
Yeah, so he was basically like a...
Is that just really culturally insensitive to just...
I hope so,
who's Davy Crockett?
Yeah.
And why should I care?
Yeah, I think it is, but...
No offence.
Equally.
I don't know who he is, but then Americans probably don't know who he wears
a stupid hat, so, you know, it's his own fault.
He thinks he's on the raccoons.
Yeah. Next we get the boyfriend, Harvey. So we're introduced to him at this point, and he is established for some reason. He goes, yes, me and Sabrina share a locker. That's really, we're really serious. It's like moving in together. And then he opens up the locker, and loads of wedding magazines fall out. Uh-oh.
Women, eh? Women in the wedding magazines.
I know. He's put two and two together and made five.
Mm.
And thinks, uh-oh, Sabrina's got wedding magazines.
Does that mean one thing?
Exactly. And it doesn't. It means something else. But obviously the communication between that couple is such that Sabrina's not even mentioned it. Not even mentioned the fact that she's going to be both the maid of honour and father of the bride at her cat's... Wedding? No, a cat's daughter's wedding.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what it is? Do you know what it is?
Go on then.
It's dramatic irony.
There we go.
It is dramatic irony because the audience knows more than one of the characters. We know more than Harvey, which is kind of really obviously going to happen because he's a jock and jocks aren't known for their brains. So as an audience where they're going, stupid jock.
Mm. So the audience isn't jocks. That's
and jocks the is audience. The audience.
I don't know. I'd say singular. The audience is a singular plural, but
Yeah, no. Too sophisticated for jocks.
It's too sophisticated for a wrestling podcast, to be honest. This.
This brings me on to something else. Literary.
Okay.
Okay. Initially, it's not literary.
You know, you are bringing up the tone of this podcast quite dramatically with
that's
all this.
That's all right, but no. The first thing was, I was thinking it's not literary. It's I want to coin a term here. What can I call it? Fraserian. As in Fraser.
Yeah, Fraserian. Would that be one?
Fraserian.
Fraserian. A Fraserian motif, something.
Yeah. So, again, with the... It links to the dramatic irony.
Yeah.
Which is a massive feature of how Fraser works.
Yeah, and a lot of Shakespeare.
Well, this is... Oh, you jumped ahead of me there. Well, exactly. Yeah. So it's like a Shakespearean comedy, because we have the overhearing, we have the coincidences, we have the... Get a lot of the dramatic irony going on, so you know, it's worthy of the bard.
Mm. So what we're saying is Sabrina the Teenage Witch is on the level of some of the greatest work in English literature.
Yeah, it's a bit kind of Midsummer Night's Dream or
lots of magic.
See what you did there. Yeah. See what you did there. Very, very good. Yeah.
Well, it's not what I did. It's obviously the Sabrina writers who...
Well, they'll have all been to Yale or somewhere, American.
Of course.
I don't know. I'm sounding like really negative about Mary. Not at all. But I only know stereotypes as same in reverse, you know.
I wouldn't worry. I mean, obviously, once we finish this, we'll go and have a cup of tea.
Get the manservant to...
Yeah, get the butler in. That sounds a bit like an innuendo, to be honest. Let me see. So we then cut to Sabrina's work. She works in a cafe.
Been there. Is that brewed that. That's what it's called.
You noticed that. That's good. Nice. Well, it's not.
Punny.
Yeah, it's not as good as Central Perk.
No, it's not. Yeah, been there, brewed that. It's a bit rubbish, really. The been there.
You could have just had been there, done that. That'd be better.
No, but then done hasn't got anything to do with coffee.
No, I mean, but you've already got the coffee element with the bean.
Yeah,
you don't need two coffee references in a play on words, do you?
But it'd be doubly punny if you did.
I think you can overdo it, though. But I think that conversation's percolating. I'm sorry. So it's quite clear that Josh fancies Sabrina, not Clarissa.
Josh is the cafe owner.
Yeah, Josh is...
Or the manager or whatever he is.
Yeah.
Or team leader.
He reminded me a little bit of... I don't know if you remember Nip Tuck.
That
kind of drama. And there was like I think there was one of the main doctors who was a bit of a kind of sleazy...
Oh, no, he wasn't like that.
He was sex addict, I think his character was.
No, he wasn't like that.
No, but the kind of look of the kind of black, slicked hair and...
No, that's just, again, the kind of... There's a person who we won't name on here, but that we used to know. He was an American hunk.
Oh yeah.
And he used to wear jeans and white t-shirts.
He was a hunk.
He was a hunk, and it was just that kind of, I think, a bit of that going on.
Yeah, just an all American kind of looking,
good looking
fella.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't convinced by him working in a cafe.
Well, no. Maybe he was, you know, doing his food.
Maybe. I'm just convinced that he was far too good looking. He would have been snapped up by a model agency, you know. Someone would have gone in and gone, son, I can make you rich. And he would have gone, all right then. Or he'd know how good looking he was and would pursue work, say, in acting or...
I just think he's a postgraduate student.
Well, he's not.
Doing a bit of work in Costas.
You know what? I think that is true. I think that is actually his character.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because I recall one of the episodes of Watch for Colin, by accident, Sabrina basically genned up on loads of Charles Dickens stuff to help him with his studies.
Mm.
But it was like at university level, college level.
Well,
and then she ended up in his college dorm
Ooh.
With all his college roommates, and they ordered a takeaway together.
I'm far more perceptive than I
realised. Yeah, there you go. It's obviously, no, it's the good writing. That's what it is. We've established that actually the writing's very subtle and you can pick up these nuances.
Mm.
What is it? The other girl who works in the cafe thinks that Sabrina and Harvey are going to break up because of Harvey being kind of a bit freaked out, I think, by this wedding stuff.
Yeah. It seems like everybody wants Sabrina.
Well, yeah, she was hot. She was hot. I mean,
because there was the other jock mate who was there when the wedding magazine fell out of the locker.
Yeah.
And
what,
later, you think
he had eyes for Sabrina?
Yeah, he did. Later on in the cafe, he was supposedly going to be there to pick up the pieces or something.
Oh, yes.
When Harvey dumped Sabrina, so, you know, picking up the pieces only means one thing, shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, but maybe he meant in a gay way to Harvey. I like to think it was that progressive. You know, we've established that it's just brilliant writing. I'd like to think that it was kind of progressive in terms of sexual equality and, you know, kind of pushing those agendas.
Pushing those boundaries.
Yeah, right ahead of its time. I mean, you know, it's not such a big deal today, but this was the mid-90s and, you know, I think being a gay man was still illegal in, like, 40 states in America, probably.
Nah, I think you're wrong. But, yeah. Well, I
don't know for a fact, but
not about that bit. But
you know, don't let that get in the way of a good point. You know, so the next scene. This is where we get Annabelle visits her dad, and it seems that she turns up to the house, and Salem's taking a shit. He's in his litter box. Is it called litter? Is it a litter box?
Litter tray.
Yeah,
it's one of the posh ones with a lid on it.
So that's more of a box, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is. But yeah.
And he's going on about, I wish I hadn't started that Mexican diet. There's obviously the impression that it's a, you know, it's more than just a...
He's got the booze.
Yeah, you know, it's more than just a routine dump. It's, you know, it's obviously got a bit more behind it. You know, bit more, maybe a bit less substance. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's been eaten the same as Colin Cox's cats.
Well, there we go. So they kind of have their, you know, lovey-dovey moment, the meet-up, and she hugs her dad, who's also a cat, and goes, "Oh, have you got sand on your feet? It's cat litter. We know it's cat litter. It's obvious. He's just come out of a cat litter tray."
That's a bit horrible, actually. It's like meeting your long-lost father and, oh, no, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And she doesn't seem surprised that,
and, like, he's got loads of toilet water on him, or... She's not surprised he's a cat, so she's obviously been... told in advance. But then she seems to be from this other realm anyway, because,
yeah,
you know, they don't have a normal wedding, which we'll find out in a bit. And then what was next? We cut to Harvey and Sabrina might be splitting up.
Mm-hmm.
That's still going. They don't really move that storyline on, to be honest.
No. And then it goes back to the wedding.
Then it goes to the wedding. I thought this whole wedding bit was quite great, to be honest. I thought, what did they dress Sabrina up in? Just some, like, really...
It was...
wacky outfit.
It was, like, a green dress with, like a long sort of satin green dress with, like, an admiral.
Yeah, it was like Napoleon, if Napoleon had become a geisha girl, it was kind of...
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a big Napoleon-style hat.
A bit of a juxtaposition.
Yeah, so wacky style, and... there was all this talk about her bouquet of flowers, and it wasn't a bouquet. They were like, "No, you don't have a bouquet at another wedding, you have a sapling."
Mm.
But it wasn't a sapling, was it, Claire?
It was a big old tree.
It was a huge tree.
Which she had to drag down the aisle. This was after all of the other wedding guests bunny hopped into the ceremony room, which was described, not a word you hear enough, to be honest, it was described as whimsy. Was nice.
Yeah, it was
nice use of the word whimsy.
I think it was quite a nice thing. It was to remind people that wedding, you know, marriage should have whimsy.
Yeah,
I thought that was quite nice.
I just liked hearing the word. You don't hear it much. Yeah,
I think everyone needs some whims.
whimsy.
A bit whimsy, but you know, I'd rather just have full blown whims.
No, it doesn't mean like.
I know, you know,
but...
Right, the groom turns up, he's in a full coat of armour, Which, damn it, I should have thought of that for my wedding. That would have been great. I would have loved to have turned up, my wife, coming down the aisle, looking at me, dressed in a full suit of armour.
Well, I'm glad that your wife didn't get to witness that. And I'm also glad that your wife didn't look like the permed blonde bride.
I kind of disagree with that, but there we go.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we've got Sabrina dragging the tree, and then we have the priest kind of clap his hands and say, got the, what was it, the most important part of the wedding, the most sacred part of the wedding, the ring. And then the wall kind of falls away and a big wrestling ring appears.
We get to the wrestling. We get to the point of this podcast, really.
That's true. I can admit my failings. I didn't get the...
How did you not get it?
I didn't get the wedding reference, you know, the idea of a ring at a wedding.
I know you're tired. I know you've been at work all day, but that's like...
It clicked. It did click, but it wasn't an instant thing.
Well, dear. Somebody needs some more sleep then.
Yeah, I did kind of... what was it, about a minute after it was in? I was like, oh, yeah. A ring like a wedding. So, yeah. You know, I'm not always that sharp. I do miss some things, don't I, Claire? So.
Not often, but yeah, for some reason that this time, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds passive aggressive.
Yeah, a little bit. What we find out is that the father of the bride and the father of the groom have to wrestle
for the right of his daughter to marry his son.
Yes.
That's what's said.
Did you get who needs to win that? They didn't really explain it.
Yeah, it was... Well, yeah, it says it in that. For the right of his daughter to marry his son. Well, no, I suppose that doesn't explain. But then, he's got to win.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. What if Salem's got a son? And I don't know. I'm getting too technical. But the wrestler who revealed himself...
Oh, dear. He didn't.
Well, he didn't.
It wasn't a wardrobe malfunction.
Not in the same way as that bloke at the park did once. But now this... it was Billy Gunn.
He just looked like somebody at one of those local events, looked like Whitby.
He looked like an indie wrestler.
Is that what you call him?
Yeah, yeah. No, he was in the WWF in the 90s.
What, the Pandas?
He was a big star. He was
in Conservation.
Yeah, he was in D-Generation X. It's a blank look, shaking your head, shrugging. No.
Yeah, don't mean anything to me.
No, that's fine. The point is that he had to wrestle a cat. But wait, the cat's not going to wrestle Billy Gunn. That'd be absurd. You know, you'd need a real human to wrestle another human. So,
well, if we remember, Sabrina is kind of standing father of the bride as well as maid of honour today, so, you know.
Yeah, so she gets it in the ring. She starts getting her ass kicked, basically. And but then she turns it round. Billy Gunn's about to get the pin. And she teleports away. She uses magic like a big old cheat. And then she starts gouging his eyes. And then I think Salem got thrown in and onto his head. And then he got thrown out and then thrown back in again. And
it's
then,
all a bit ridiculous, yeah, to be honest.
It was absurd and bombastic and silly and funny. And then, what was it? It was like that thing you do when you're at primary school to trip someone over, where you curl up behind them and then they fall over you. That was how she knocked him down and won the match. She got the 1-2-3 for the pin. Hand was raised and the wedding could continue. I forgot to mention, actually, that Billy Gunn's name in this was fantastic.
Oh, it was... What was it?
It was Xavier the Avenger Prescott.
Prescott? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, that was his name.
I'm hoping that it was like... A reference to our own Prescott. Our own, what did they used to call him? Like
two jags.
Two jags, yeah. But then
John Prescott.
Yeah, but then there was the punching in the face thing from his egging.
Yeah.
I hope it was inspired.
And then his affair when he was two shags Prescott, so so easy.
Again, so this was mid to late 90s. Had John Prescott been egged and punched?
Probably not at this. I mean, it's probably similar time, to be honest. I think the Prescott stuff probably happened about 98.
And I mean, chances of an American teenage comedy or whatever it might be referencing and a provincial egging in Great Britain
of a former deputy prime minister.
Quite slim, but I'd like to think that it was inspired by.
And then, of course, Sabrina got introduced as Sabrina. Has it got a nickname? Spellman.
Oh, is that what? Some of it I just couldn't catch. So she's called Sabrina Spellman.
You get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's a witch, and they do spells.
Yeah, no, I get it. And then, speaking of kind of non-PC.
Yeah.
So what's he called? Xavier the Avenger.
Prescott.
Is that even what he's called, John? Yes. I've written something here like Xavier the Avenger. I can't, like Christoph or something. Did you mishear Prescott? And so we've done a whole big thing about like John Prescott. It wasn't.
I don't care. It wasn't Prescott.
Look, I put like something.
I thought just with the humour of the show, I thought having a really kind of average surname.
I think you're completely wrong there. But anyway, maybe. So
are we going to have to go back and watch this again?
No,
I'm
not watching it again. Yeah. So this wrestler, he says, with my other son, I got beat up and I've got gypsies as relatives.
Yeah. I don't think you could get away with that today, could you really?
No, quite rude.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I suppose that's the kind of climax of the episode, really. Yeah. Next we've got the kind of, just tying off the loose ends.
Yeah. Really. All of rubbish. Yeah. Rubbish.
So we had the
stories.
So we remember...
The ants one is the worst.
Yeah, you had the two aunts coming in with their dates, and this one, what was it, the Daniel Booth, the guy who's
Davy Crockett,
which I'm sure all our American listeners will be really, be glad to hear. They talk about, we need to send these dates back. I don't know why do they need to send them back?
Well, it'd be a bit, uncomfortable for them just to join late 90s society suddenly. They need to send them back for their own good.
Wouldn't that be more confusing? They get sent back to their own time and then they've got to tell people, I was in... A bit of a weird...
No. Because if you think about it, what modern references were there in that wedding? There wasn't any, really. So that could have been a wedding from their century.
But they weren't just in the wedding. They were in, the house with the aunts and...
Oh, right, yeah, I suppose. I forgot about that.
There was, a TV and...
And one of them went to the coffee shop as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we go to the coffee breakup storyline. And we're expecting Harvey to go up and break up with Sabrina. The story arc has gone to the breakup. Story's built up. Harvey's going to split up with Sabrina. We know that's going to happen. But instead, he reaches into his pocket and presents her with a ring.
Aww.
Oh, dear. We know Sabrina doesn't want a serious relationship. She says, I'm just a high school girl. I don't want a serious relationship.
Yeah, no, but remember she represents all of those... awkward teenage girls, so who secretly would like to be with the jock.
And for him to pull out an engagement ring.
So maybe, so there was that chance that she could have just gone back on her principles and just gone, an engagement ring, cute, or something. But she didn't.
She did go, it's so sweet.
She did.
Yeah, and then he goes, but it's not an engagement ring, it's a promise ring. And I promise that I'll get engaged to you if we don't fall out.
That's just embarrassing.
Is it a good old get-out clause?
No, that's just kiddie. Well, which is, I suppose, fair enough because they are at school. It's just the sort of making promises you're not going to keep.
But at least you got a ring,
Why wasn't why weren't the kind of onlookers in the cafe, why wasn't that a misunderstanding? In the Fraser sense, why didn't they all rush over and go, you guys?
Well, I think there was a little bit of that, but it was...
Because they just suddenly disappeared.
I think they saw everybody it and were else. Like, it's no point now, I'm not going to get...
Oh, so get they did there. Think that they were engaged. Yeah. So there is that, they just reacted to it differently than I expected.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose we're at the end of the episode now, and...
Thank the Lord.
When you were growing up, there was a period of your life when you were a teenage girl... did you see, can you relate to Sabrina as a teenager, as a teenage witch? Think back to when you were a teenager.
Think back to when I was a teenage witch.
Yeah, think back to when you were a teenage witch. Were you convinced by Sabrina's portrayal of a teenage witch? Speaking from your experience as a...
as a teenage witch.
As a former teenager yourself. Speaking as a former 16-year-old.
Did I relate to Sabrina? Would I have related at the time? Not only to her fashion.
Right.
I know that sounds ridiculous, but she was rocking some nice mid to late 90s fashion that I wouldn't have minded wearing at the time.
Like that black top with the red sleeves.
Yeah. No, there was just a skirt which had like a Chinesey kind of panel in it, which, you know, when everybody was wearing dragons and stuff, it was like, yeah, I totally would have worn that.
Okay.
During my Natalie Imbruglia phase.
Right, okay. And I suppose as well, just thinking back to the time when you were transformed into a mystical cat that could talk. I mean, how did you relate to the Salem character? Did you kind of, you know, as with your 500 years as a talking cat, do you kind of relate to that? Or
have I met cats like Salem? One or two. Arrogant, you know, kind of. That cat, Salem. Salem is a stock character. Salem is Niles Crane, is whatever that kid's called on Family Guy. Like
Stewie Griffin.
Stewie Griffin.
Right.
That's Salem. That's that stock character.
Right.
Sort of well-spoken, erudite.
You know, you grew up with cats. What I'm saying is he like a bit of a...
My cats were never erudite.
I suppose you had feral countryside cats that ran around in trees and brought you back little birds and things as gifts, wasn't it? So,
yeah, you couldn't really have conversed in quite the same way.
Right, right. For me, I mean, this is the third episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch I've watched in the last few weeks, and I think, to be honest...
You're going to get another PhD, but in Melissa Joan Hart studies.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking I might just set up a department.
I suppose that's what maybe American studies that Kiel was all about.
Well, there we go, yeah. So, you know, the Melissa Joan Hart studies with a major in clericerology or something.
Yeah, well, that would make the newspapers, like when they used to go, you can do a degree in David Beckham at Stoke-on-Trent.
Yeah.
You couldn't. You could do a sports science something and maybe do like an essay on him or something. But
as I say, don't let facts and truth
stand in the way of a good story.
Yeah. First rule of journalism, I think. Yeah. I hope you've enjoyed guest hosting on the When Wrestlers At podcast.
I have, and you know, I must have added about 5 or 6 rows to my crocheted teddy bear scarf.
See, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. The multitasking.
And it's because I'm your first female co-host, and we can multitask. Did you also know that I put on a wash and like got tomorrow's tea ready? All in the same time.
Right. Okay. Well, that's pretty good. Pretty good going. Thanks for listening. As ever, you know, check us out on whenwrestlersapp.com. We have Twitter, Facebook, WordPress, and it's all WWA Podcast. You can find us on iTunes and subscribe. If you want to help kind of fund this podcast, we now have adverts on the When Wrestlers App site. All you've got to do is click on those. And they'll send probably about 2 pence our way, but eventually it'll cover the bandwidth costs. So, anything you can do to help, that's great. Spread the word, give us some reviews on iTunes, and see you again in a fortnight. Bye-bye.
Cheerio. Toodle peep.